Welcome to the June-July issue of Heart to Heart. Unfolding the Seed of the Christ from Within. An address by White Eagle. We pray that your hearts may be uplifted, that you may receive a sweet and gentle blessing from the invisible presence, that you may be impressed by the companionship of unseen friends. You all need this companionship, and to understand that our world of spirit is closely interwoven with your world. Although the two states do indeed intermingle, it is not always easy for you to appreciate this truth, for you are enslaved by physical matter and all the demands of the body and mind. Until you can find a way to disentangle yourselves from this bondage, you cannot comprehend the beautiful life which is all around you. There are two aspects of life, those of the body and the heart. The latter is expressed in worship of the Creator, in worship of all that is true, beautiful, and loving. The former is that of the body and the physical world, which hinders your aspiration all the way through life, because this temptation to succumb to physical things and the earthly mind does not cease so long as the human being remains of the earth, earthy. But do not give up hope. Did not Jesus Christ say, "What I do, ye shall do also"? Meaning that man and woman, by following the path of the Christ, would in time become a son man or woman. What is a sun being? A being of light. Long, long ago, the great ones came to the earth to show human beings the way to live if they wished to unfold from within the seed of the Christ. They taught people the way to live. They could not then enforce their teaching any more than today. But what they did was to bring to their disciples not only words but a presence, a power. They brought illumination. They brought peace and joy and above all the way of life in love. The sun beings are still helping humanity. There are some who are, perhaps, greater in their God consciousness than others. There are degrees among these sun or God men and women, the greatest of whom you know as Jesus the Christ. For above all is the Supreme Grand Master, and the channel that he used in his last manifestation on earth was the Lord Jesus. And we stress his message tonight because of his great human understanding. Humanity is today unfolding, evolving very rapidly. Some of you may doubt whether this unfoldment is good. We would reassure you and say that all is good, for the Creator is omnipotent. The great architect of the universe holds the plan. His children of earth have a degree of free will. They can choose. They can respond to what is pure, true, and lovely, or they can succumb to the darkness and bitterness of earth. But each soul has to learn to develop and uplift this sun within through human experience. Jesus came to bring this supreme message, that the destiny of each man and woman is to become full of love, which is selfless, which demands nothing for itself, but thinks always of the good of the whole. How many here can earnestly and truly say that they think and live daily only for the good of others? At this season of the year, you inhale the perfume of spring, the scent of the newly turned earth, and seeing the fresh green of the trees, cry out, "How beautiful is the world!" Flowers of gold and white shine under the sun, and your hearts are uplifted with joy. What would it be like for you if spring never came, if you did not see the flowers and smell the sweetness of the earth? But Jesus brought to humanity a light which is inconceivably more lovely than the physical sunlight of spring. He carried it with him throughout his earthly pilgrimage. And he revealed this light to his disciples when they were raised in consciousness, when they had withdrawn from the noise and clamour of the world. They were waiting, a waiting, silent brotherhood. They saw the glory of his spirit at the time of the transfiguration. This was a demonstration to the earth person that he was a sun being, a being of light. Moreover, Jesus beautified the lives of all who came near him. He lived to heal, to comfort, and to illumine. What a beautiful life! What a glorious mission! The pity of it is that today Jesus appears to be very remote to most people. Only a few understand how near is the human presence of Jesus Christ, that he still heals and comforts people. Millions of people pray to Jesus, worship, and talk about Jesus, but think only of the historical Jesus of long ago. At the same time, they do not realize that the records of the true life of Jesus are yet withheld, but are kept by the silent brotherhood. There is indeed such a silent brotherhood, although people know little, if anything, about their work. For this brotherhood works behind the whole scene of earthly life, working without cessation to help humanity towards its goal, its Christ initiation. Do not be discouraged. Do not think that aeons of time will pass before you realize the Christ life within your own heart. You cannot comprehend time. It is impossible for you, with your finite mind, to comprehend infinity or eternity. So your attainment of the Christ man-woman cannot be measured in years. For divine illumination can come in a flash to any soul ready to surrender. But there are qualifications necessary for this supreme initiation. One is purity, sincerity is another, and a third is simple divine love, expressed by putting the good of others first. That is self-sacrifice, but with wisdom. All over your earth are centres of power and light. In your overcrowded island, the crowds visit these centres, hoping to see something extraordinary. They usually miss what can be seen only with the inner eye. They cannot see, perhaps, a fountain of light arising from some hillside to bless the earth. They do not perceive that at that place a sun man or woman once lived, who was a channel for the spiritual sun, and that his or her aura still blesses the earth. Do the ministers of your church today go out into the fields to bless the seeds before they are sown? In days gone by, it was a regular practice for the God man or woman to perform this ritual, and to bless the seeds with the white light. There are still people who can make anything grow. You say he or she has green fingers, but what is meant is that he really loves his plants, not with his mind, but with a quality in his heart, or that she pours into their roots a white substance, the white light. That is how the growing things should be blessed and nurtured. Before we leave you, we want to raise you up so that you may contact the mountain retreat of the Silent Brotherhood. In the great circle of white-clothed brethren, there comes he whom you know as Jesus, the carpenter's son. He is so simple, so pure of spirit. He radiates purity and simplicity of life. He says, "I am the carpenter's son. I have to execute perfect work with the tools and the materials handed down to me by my Father. I am the example of the perfect craftsman." Then follows a great silence. The truth strikes into every listening heart. For he says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Then the glory of the Lord will be upon you, and you will know the beauty that awaits you when you pass through the great archway, the golden arch of initiation, into the glories of the perfect life. Amen. The Healing Power of Love by Jane Sorby. We have arrived at the pivotal time of change and expansion in the world. It is a time of an ever-growing Aquarian influence, gradually shifting us from a more authoritarian environment to one more inclusive. "We the people" is a phrase that is crucial to the Constitution of the United States. Most interesting to note is that the Constitution was written under a similar influence of Pluto in Aquarius some 236 years ago. At the present time, many people feel set adrift in unknown and uncharted waters. The journey through the changes we have seen, even in our lifetimes, has left millions seemingly without an anchor, unsure of what might be unfolding and seeking to find a helping hand to traverse safely the unknown path ahead. Many years ago, shortly after the founding of the White Eagle Lodge in 1936, White Eagle inspired the formation and the wording of the first healing groups. All over the world, individuals and healing groups continue to meet, and the results of many extraordinary miracles are ongoing. The gentle support through love continues to give strength, hope, and indeed transformation to many lives. White Eagle says, "Healing is the intake into the body of the eternal sun, the light. If you can call upon this light, breathe it in, live consciously in this light. It will actually control the cells of the physical body. The body is so heavy, material life so strong, but do not forget the power of God to recreate the living cells of your body." Jane continues, "This is such a simple concept to follow, to make a regular time and effort, to fill ourselves with that glorious intake of sunlight. True healing is all about the ability to open up to that wondrous sunlight and know without a shadow of a doubt that our very cells may be changed and brought back into harmony through love. The author Michael Talbot tells us that tapping into the master plan, our DNA itself, when we access the right strata of our beliefs, our minds can override even our genetic makeup. How true indeed, energy follows thought. So important is our thought. If we identify with positive, harmonious and loving thought, it is in effect a balancing of the higher resonance within us, which in itself is evolutionary. Our whole cellular makeup thereby is uplifted and brought into order and harmony. Everyday life can bombard us with less than harmonious frequencies, some of which we may be quite unaware of. The great initiate Pythagoras taught of the healing and harmonizing effect of music, vibration, and color, just as we use color in our healing work within the lodge. There is perfect science behind its use. The vibration of sound and color creates a perfume. Selecting music that we love, or absorbing the uplifting perfume of summer flowers, of which the rose is paramount, is enormously healing in itself. In the natural world, we are surrounded by opportunities to immerse ourselves in our Creator's gifts of healing. Within our beautiful stream of teaching is instruction concerning the opportunity which lies wide open to help ourselves and each other through focused healing love. White Eagle says, "Open your heart center. Lay it bare before the grand and heavenly temple above. In perfect simplicity and confidence, receive the light into your heart, so that it becomes the breath of your body and the life of your life. The power, the wisdom, and the love. If you can do this, you will no longer need to bring your little earthly brain to solve your problems, because the brain in your heart will show you the way." He also says, "Did I tell you that in the heart is the brain of the spirit? Within your heart will be the wisdom, the love, and the gentleness of love that you and the people you are dealing with will feel. They will not interpret nor understand it, but they will feel it, because you are bringing into operation in your heart, in your spirit, in your aura, the God power which lies in the heart of all men and women. In most cases, this is covered up. It is not operating. However, you can bring it into operation. You can fan that little spark in the heart of men and women that you have to deal with in your earth life. This is our work. It is our work from the spirit side of life. And we are giving it to you. It is your work on earth to bring into operation the divine spark in all men and women." Jane continues, "Whether or not we are formally part of the healing work of the lodge, all have the opportunity every moment to radiate out a stream of warm and beautiful healing love from our hearts. It may go out quite unnoticed and without great fanfare. Wherever we might be, whether we are focusing on international affairs or a next door neighbour, we may all contribute much through this healing energy of love. Sometimes our love must stand aside and watch what is happening with vision so clear that it knows that suffering is part of love's travail. We feel, we know, but we remain still and dispassionate, for in this way we may give the most help. Perhaps many of us are quite unaware of the extraordinary power that we have inside ourselves. The present is no time to be thinking we are not worthy or unable to help. Every single one of us can help, and together we might absolutely move mountains. The flow of healing from the heart, in whatever manner it may be given, has incredible power and beautiful reverberations. The following is from a letter from someone receiving healing through healers working through the star. She says, "I feel so overwhelmed, so much love. I feel in every cell of my body. I can scarce take it in, and yet this is the greatest comfort and healing power in writing, in spirit, I have known. My heart and mind and the alcove of my soul receive such profound waves of alignment with White Eagle's presence, I can scarcely believe this outpouring of healing light from your compassion and generous, generous attention to my life situation." And Jane finishes, "The changes we wish to see in the world must evolve through us. White Eagle is very clear that harmony is the keynote of the universe, and it is towards this most beautiful of vibrations that we seek to aspire." Religion is the growing consciousness of God within, from an address by White Eagle. We want to say something about true religion. For religion does not mean any creed or dogma, and is not merely some form of belief. Religion is the growing consciousness of God in a person's own being. In other words, when someone becomes awakened to the light of God, the Christ within him or her commences to grow. This Christ is the Son of God within your breast. Religion, therefore, is not something you merely believe. It is not always in the words that you listen to or read. Religion, we repeat, is this growing God consciousness in you. This is what all humanity is needing, is searching for. You cannot begin to know how or where to find God until you learn that within yourself is God. You can learn about this infinite, this vital truth only through the love which you can feel for others and the compassion for the sufferings, the inharmony and pain which shadow your brother's life. You begin to feel sorrowful yourself and to think what you can do to alleviate this suffering. Then dawns the first glimmerings of religion in a person's heart. Thereafter, you will desire to change your own life, wanting to live in accordance with your new inner feeling. That feeling for God, which is like a little babe maturing slowly in your heart. As this feeling of concern and love for your brother grows, it enfolds more than human life. It expands into other worlds, into the animal, the natural kingdoms, and then beyond all physical form into the etheric, and so into the mental kingdom, and to the celestial kingdom. The consciousness of God, which once started as a tiny spark, grows and expands until finally that soul embraces the whole universe. By universe, we mean the universal life, both physical and spiritual. There is no limitation to that consciousness of God. The true religionist embraces all life because he or she has seen glimpses of the all-enfolding glory of the God life and the God nature. You can no longer harm your brother by any thought or word or deed. You become gentle in all your ways, meek but never weak. Remember the example of Jesus, who demonstrated not only his gentle nature, his meekness, but also his resolute strength, his moral courage, his unfailing pity for those who sinned and suffered. Here was the exemplar for all followers of the Christ. Therefore, people in their search for religion must look beyond the shells of orthodoxy, creed and dogma, for the indwelling spirit in their brother and sister. Do not misunderstand me. We do not decry orthodox religion. We know that they have done great things. They have also made mistakes, and the little misunderstandings between sects do much harm. But that we will leave on one side. We are trying to give a comprehension of true religion. This kind of religion will not be cut short at death. It goes onward with you into states of life beyond death. True religion in a person gives him or her complete conviction, without any shadow of doubt, that he or she cannot die, and that those you love can never die. Then you need no proof or evidence of continuing life after death. You already know, because the light within you reveals higher worlds of purer ether into which the spirit passes. The power of thought is the greatest power in life. We say to you most earnestly that if a small group of people such as gather in this lodge could be constant and positive in their God thought and their love to their fellows in daily life, the whole earth could be caught up in the light and power of the Creator. The power of the Creator works through every atom of this planet. You are such atoms. The object of life here is to raise it from dark, dense matter into a much finer ether. And by your God thought, you are helping to accomplish this work. Planets and worlds exist all around you. They are out of the range of this earth. They are in the light. Science is very slowly awaking to some of these spiritual facts. Presently, they will discover that the universe is not wholly physical matter. They will begin to help people to find the God consciousness within themselves. When this day comes, there will be no death, no destruction on earth, because it will have passed onward from the vibration of destruction and disaster. It will have reached a higher etheric state. May you get a crumb of truth from our words. Remember that you do not work alone, and yet you appear to be so lonely. Angels and elder brethren and companions of the Spirit are with you, watching over you. The angels know you and all that you do. They therefore pour forth their compassion, devoting time and love to healing you physically, mentally, and in your soul. The world today needs all the positive God thought that you can project, not only to heal the sick in body, but the sick in mind. We suggest that each one of you, in the silence of your own soul, will kneel beside the still waters and pray to be able to send forth the healing light of the Son of God, the Christ. If you cannot do it every minute of your day, then send it forth at the magical hour of 9 o'clock, or 3, 6, and 9 o'clock, and 12 o'clock. Project light to the whole earth, to all suffering humanity. Behind you is a power beyond your comprehension. It only waits for its children to be willing to be a channel. May the channel open wide and the light flood through. By your mental direction, it can go forth to heal the nations, to heal the whole world, and to raise it from death and darkness into everlasting light and glory. So mote it be. The Power of Pluto by Simon Bentley. Any astrologer interested in the study of mundane astrology, i.e. of the world, realizes sooner or later the importance of studying history. In a letter to members a couple of months ago, I touched for the first time on the significance of Pluto's move from Capricorn into Aquarius. As time goes on, there will be much more to be said about this. In that letter, I touched on what happened globally when Pluto was last in that position in the late 1770s. Since writing that letter, I have delved further back too. Despite the fact that Pluto was discovered nearly a century ago, there is still much that we do not yet understand about its influence. We can say that wherever it is, Pluto represents an ultimately irresistible force, as it is symbolic of divine power, which can and does reign supreme over anything humanity may attempt to do or achieve. It reminds us, often very uncomfortably, that we are always answerable to a higher authority. Thus, astrology links it with karma and destiny, and above all, the evolutionary process. Pluto reflects something within all life that changes, transforms, inexorably moving forward, ever onward and upward on the spiral of life. Each orbit it makes through the zodiac can be thought of as another turn of that spiral. Pluto in Capricorn, as we have seen, has reminded us that the most stable of institutions, governments, organisations, even our planet itself, do not or will not last forever. Things are always evolving, even when sometimes they seem to stand still. One of the most difficult lessons we all have to learn is that of embracing rather than resisting what Pluto represents. Its passage through Capricorn, an earth sign, has perhaps been more disconcerting than most, but also reminded us that humanity may neither halt nor wander away from the plan more than a certain amount, and that if it does, forces greater than we know or understand will bring things back to equilibrium. Lest we fear for the future, as many do, let us remember this. White Eagle himself has said that humanity cannot go beyond a certain point in the way it behaves. This may sound daunting, but it also reminds us that all is in the hands of God, however much it might not seem like it sometimes. It is too for God to decide when that point has been reached or not. Pluto in Aquarius alters the tone of the changes it brings, as it then operates more at the mental level. My studies have shown me that some kind of major revolution seems to accompany Pluto's move into that sign. While this has often turned out to be exactly so in the way humanity generally understands that word, it is much more important to realise that what this actually means is revolution in its literal sense, something turning, in essence, going up a step on that great spiral of evolution. In the 1770s, Pluto moved into Aquarius as America was fighting for and gaining its independence, and during the 20 years that it remained in that sign, the new nation became a reality. What happened then was a revolutionary war, certainly, but it was ideas and principles that were real motivators of that revolution. The Declaration of Independence and the US Constitution are arguably two of the most important documents concerning ideas and principles that have ever been drafted. As Pluto continued its passage through Aquarius, France also had its revolution. Again, at heart, a revolution of ideas which overturned an outdated class system. What do we see if we go further back? The previous occasion that Pluto moved into Aquarius took place in the early 1530s, just when a revolution of a very different kind was happening here in the UK. This was the time when Henry VIII broke with Rome, declaring himself supreme leader of the church in England. It is well known that he had very personal reasons for doing this, but be that as it may, a reformation took place through much of Europe too, which had begun with Martin Luther some years earlier. Again, it was about ideas, ideals, and independence, this time from what was by then being increasingly regarded as an incorrigibly corrupt religious authority. The Pluto-Aquarius ingress previous to that took place in the 1280s. At this time, Edward I, a man with much legal knowledge and understanding, was on the English throne, and the date of the change of sign aligns with his second Statute of Westminster, a legal document which had two very specific and far-reaching aims: to abolish feudalism and to enable the parliamentary system to grow. As time has proved, he did not manage to achieve these aims quickly, but he kick-started the process. These aims seem remarkably Aquarian for the time. Religion reared its head again in the upheavals of the reign of Edward the Confessor, who became king around the time of the next previous ingress in the early 1040s. His reign was marked once again by religious controversy, chiefly major arguments with Rome. Henry VIII did not invent those. One more cycle back takes us to the late 790s, when Charlemagne was increasing his power over Europe and, indeed, managed to form a united Europe of sorts, for which the then Pope made him Holy Roman Emperor. He was crowned in 800. Life was nasty, brutish, and short in those days, but it must have been quite an achievement to bring about some sort of united Europe. After all, it hasn't proved all that straightforward in our own times. So what will the current Pluto-Aquarius ingress bring? We can see many of its effects already, much more so than on any previous occasion because of the media now available to bring news to us. That is in itself a very important point. Humanity is more conscious now of what is happening than it has ever been, and this should prove in the long term to make this ingress more significant, the goals more ambitious, the ability to grow much greater than on previous occasions. Our evolution, we are told, is speeding up. It surely is. And those of us with the spiritual understanding that White Eagle's teaching gives us can be at the forefront of that process. Spirit Guides and the Power of Love by Anna Haywood. In a vision not so long ago, I was walking down a corridor and all at once felt to turn around to see, a few yards away, two figures, both with a feminine aura and one slightly behind the other. They, and particularly the lead figure, smiled at me, but with a powerful radiance of love which overcame all negativity within me. It was just a smile, but what a smile. I can see her, it, them, smiling still in my inner thoughts, and when I do, once again I am aware that the love of that glance dissolves whatever is not of love in me. This is the power of love. And these were spirit guides. They had no need to speak, make pronouncements, offer solutions, suggest paths forward. There were no expectations, no conditions, just their love-filled, open-hearted, smiling faces. Because nothing can stand in the way which is unloving. Every perspective is revealed. And there is no choice but to feel loved, lovable, and lovely. Their love was not conditional on me reaching a certain stage or overcoming or letting go of anything. It was not conditional on me making worthy decisions or goals, or conditional on positive vibrations within me. Far from it, for at the time, my psyche was far from positive. Besides giving me this great gift, which continues to work its magic whenever I revisit that vision, they showed me, allowed me to experience what any act of love in its broadest sense can achieve. Our small earthly emotions of smiles, small kindnesses, celebrations of others, giving time, listening. All these and more demonstrate the love we can bring to everyday encounters, wherever we are. And they are really powerful, much more than we think. This is often the way that things change, like the proverbial pebble dropped in a pond. We pioneers of the new age do not need to preach or do great things. We can change the world every day when we love in these small ways and show by our smiles that the people we meet are lovely, lovable, and whatever the outward case, have hearts full of love. Of course, it is not always possible to do this outwardly. Sometimes we feel too hurt, too afraid, or in a struggle with ourselves. That's when we can use the knowledge that White Eagle gives us when he says, "We know and understand your difficulties when you feel unable to love your brother as you know you should. We do not blame or condemn, nor criticize for one instant. We just understand the little human difficulties which concern you. May we just suggest that when you find it difficult or almost impossible to love an individual, you forget all those little human failings and weaknesses in your brother, which make it so difficult for you to love, and just give your heart to the perfect one, even the Christ, the Master. Just dwell in spirit with him. Let him live as an image in your heart. And then you will be flooded with light, and you will have no difficulty then in feeling an immense love. The personalities will change. They will become very dear to you. This is one way to achieve love. As I was shown by my guides, even in our worst inner states, that love is still there for us and in us, working its magic in the darkness. Just remembering it is there is enough to change our inner feelings, whether we fully realize it or not. White Eagle's teaching that one positive thought outweighs 10,000 negative ones applies as much to our inner landscape as to outer things, if not more. So I invite you into my inner vision. Wherever you are in yourself right now, turn and see your guides smiling at you with unconditional love. And feel the power of that love dissolving any unwanted thought and feelings. Take a conscious breath and feel your body relax, your facial muscles release and spread out. Breathe out and let the power of love work its magic in you. I wouldn't think in terms of transformation. You were always loving and never stopped being love within. But as the barriers dissolve, that smile uncovers the reality of your indomitable spiritual nature within a radiant and radiating human form. We begin our service today with a reading from White Eagle on the Midsummer Ceremony. He says, from the beginning of the year, from Christmas time until June, both nature and humanity pass through great changes, and as nature is stimulated by the Divine Mother, you see the result of the stimulation of life in nature. You see it in the beauty of your English springtime. When you are more spiritually developed, you will be able to see it in the companions of your earthly journey, notably in the first 6 months of the year. And this particular month of June is the fulfillment of the whole period from the beginning of the year. There is a working up of the great love of the Lord Christ. During this month, at the full moon, a ceremony which is known as the Christ Ceremony is the completion of the great spiritual growth which has been taking place. You have in the month of May, at the full moon, the festival of the Lord Buddha, and in the month of June, the ceremony of the Lord Christ, which, as we have already said, is the fulfillment of the past ceremonies and initiations which have been taking place. we would help you to understand what is happening, so that you may respond to the urge to work on your earth plane to inspire humanity with the Christ Spirit and with the truth, so that you may give enlightenment to the earth. This is not done only by the spoken word, but by the truth in your heart. May this truth shine as a beautiful jewel on your breast. Try not to sink beneath the level of this pure spiritual life which you know. May it be the life of every day. Pray that you may love, may live love, may act love. And now we have our prayer for humanity. We remember before God the great need of all humankind, and that we may pray to God, we have made quiet the fretful mind of every day, and opened our hearts to the Father, Mother God, and to Christ the Son, to the Holy Trinity of wisdom, love and power. In the holy name of Christ, by the Christ light in the hearts of all people, we call upon the great angels of Christ. We feel their presence and their power, and we attune ourselves to the prayers of all men and women of goodwill. And being thus prepared and ready before God, with all the will of our minds, with all the love of our deepest hearts, we send forth the light. We send it forth as a great star of light, a star, a blazing star, withstanding, overcoming all evil, triumphant over darkness and death, a star of the Christ light. By all the power of Christ within, we send forth the light. And we especially remember at this time all those who are suffering as a result of conflict, of lack of food and water, especially in Africa. And those suffering through natural disaster. And we bring into the great light of the star all those who have asked for healing. And we especially remember anyone known to us personally who may be in need of help or healing. Silently we name them now. And we see them perfect in the heart of the star. Amen. Our meditation follows on from the reading about the Midsummer Ceremony and is from White Eagle. Relax and lift your heart for we take you in spirit to the chalk downs of the mystic Isle of Britain. To the Temple of Stonehenge, which withholds its secret from the unready, but to the initiated reveals a power center of antiquity. And at this time of the summer solstice, the Lord in all his glory, with a vast company of planetary beings and great angels, releases the ancient light of the imprisoned sun. And the fire burns upon the altar, the rose stone at the center, at the heart of the Temple of Stonehenge. Come and stand with your brethren. See the power of this fire now radiating all over this island and beyond. The ancient brethren are here. And if you can go deep enough into your inner soul, you can receive and take part in this silent ceremony. The temple is ablaze with light and beauty. See the great pillars as light, the rose stone, the light pouring down upon it in the center, the great angels, and that radiation pouring out across the land and deep into the earth. See the ancient sun gods approaching on the four paths, north, south, east, and west, all converging on the holy site of the ancient sun temple. Brethren from Hyperborea, from the Andes, from Tibet, from Egypt, their headdresses like halos of fire, which are truly their auras of love. Listen as well to the voice pronouncing words of power and exhortation. And the light shall burst as a ball of flame, baptizing the earth, irradiating the earth, recreating life and the consciousness of God is quickening in all humanity. Feel it yourself. As we stand with the sun, brothers, sisters, in the glory of the light, feel that your heart center has grown, has expanded like its own sun. Feel your mind has expanded with knowledge of the power of love, the power of love. Feel the mind and the heart become one, and as that happens, from out of this great radiant light, the white dove descends upon the crown. The dove of tenderness, simplicity, the true power of love. To come back from this meditation, imagine yourself turning and walking back down away from the Temple of the Sun, bringing that true power of love with you. Take a few deeper breaths. Don't move your body yet, but just feel how you've changed inwardly. Go on breathing consciously until your physical nervous system takes over again and you can feel the floor, feel your hands. But be aware that your crown, brow, throat and heart have been opened up And so with the cross of light in the circle of light, we seal those centers. The crown, the brow, the throat, and the heart, especially. And then the solar plexus, the sacral center, and the base of the spine. Feel that as you get further away from that inner vision, so you're more aware of your room, of the place that you're in. Feel yourself surrounded in light and well earthed, remembering that the seal is a vibration of love still, through which only love can pass. And we give thanks to our sun brethren and to the angels of the sun for this blessing. Amen. We finish with a prayer from White Eagle. With stilled minds and open hearts, we stand in silence upon the hilltop, with starlit skies above us, and hear the murmur of God's voice in the whispering trees. A deep hush comes, and we know that God has blessed us. To God we give thanks for the love which brings this beauty to our hearts, and offer ourselves in loving service, praising God and God's laws of life now and forevermore. Amen.